This podcast is produced by the Center for Deployment Psychology at the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences. The views expressed are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Uniformed Services University, the Department of Defense, or the U.S. government. In addition, references to any specific companies, products, processes, or services does not necessarily constitute or imply endorsement by the Uniformed Services University, the Department of Defense, or the U.S. government. Welcome to CDP's podcast, Practical for Your Practice,
where we give you actionable intel to support what you do, one colleague to another. Hello, everybody, and welcome to CDP's Practical for Your Practice. I'm Corinne Lefkowitz, and we are here with an all-host episode.
So I've got
my two favorite co-hosts out of two. Right. I've got Jenna Ermel and Kevin Holloway. Favorites.
She put it in the right order. She put Jenna first.
I knew I was going to make one of you angry, yeah. And I figured whose wrath.
You're more afraid of me.
Whose wrath do I want to deal with the least?
I think you prioritized that right then.
Look what you did there. I like what you did. I got that.
Mm-hmm. Season seven, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome to you both. You are my favorite co-hosts and some of my favorite people. Aww. And I'm excited about this episode because I kind of have a surprise for you guys that you already knew that today's episode is based on a listener question that came in. So that's already exciting. But I would also like to start us off with some feedback that I received from a listener last week that I'm really excited to share with you. Is that okay to start that?
Yes. Yes. You had me at listener feedback.
How did you receive it?
Well, I received it because I taught a workshop last week, and I'm being mindful of how I say this because I don't have permission to identify the individual, so I'm going to keep it vague. But I was teaching a workshop last week, and this individual at the end of the workshop reached out and gave some really incredible feedback that just made my entire week, and I think you're all going to be happy to hear it as well.
Okay.
Spill it.
So here we go. So the participant is an individual who served in the military previously and then had a second career and now like kind of went back to grad school in psychology as essentially his third career.
Oh, wow.
Right? Like overachiever much?
Sure.
Right.
And he reached out to say that when he went back to grad school, he was not sure exactly what direction he was going to go in when it came to practicing psychology, and that listening to Practical for Your Practice helped him decide to go back into the military as a military health service provider, in addition to some other CDP programs that he was involved in. But he mentioned the podcast first, so I assume that was most important.
That's amazing.
It made my day. That, you know, I don't know about you all, but for me, we're talking, and sometimes it feels like we're just talking into dead space. We don't know if anybody's listening. We don't know if anybody cares.
Yeah.
We don't know if people think we're funny. Like Kevin's laughing right now. Maybe we're the only ones who think we're funny.
I think we're funny, but that may be as far as it goes.
Right. We enjoy ourselves. That's for sure.
And so it was really nice to get that feedback. And I wanted to, first of all, thank that person for sharing that info I would have never known otherwise. And I wanted to share it with all of you.
That literally made my month.
I was thinking of saying the same thing, but then I was like, that makes it sound like nothing else that I do is fun at all. and that may be true, actually, but even so, this is seriously my favorite thing to do is, you know, doing the podcast, hanging out with you two and having cool conversations. So it's nice to know that other people value it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yay. Thank you again, listener, for sharing that feedback. And we're so happy you're here.
Yes.
And so happy that some of what we say is useful.
Oh, and I'm really happy that you've made the decision to pursue providing behavioral health services in the military, because that's a really important job and we need great folks to do that. So we hope you stay part of our listener community as you take that next step as well.
And that reminds me, too, that we're always interested in hearing from you all. Like, let us know that we're not just speaking into the void, I guess. And so we'll give you more information at the end of the episode. But, man, we'd love to hear from you on our SpeakPipe, leaving us a voice message, sending us an email. There are ways to get in contact with us. And we really would love to hear from you. This is really, this made all of our months. You know, That we're gonna write on this one for a while, but we'd still love to hear from anybody else too.
But wait, there's more because
What?
we do want to hear from our listeners. And in fact, as we said, the topic for today came from a listener, a different listener.
Is this the one that you and I got last season?
Yeah. And that we
Oh.
said in the last season we would talk about in the next season. And here we are in the
Here
next
we are.
season, in season seven. And so we have a listener question about termination, basically. And I was hoping that we could talk about it today. So can I share the question
Yes.
that came in?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. This listener asked that we don't share their name, so we won't do that. We will call her Jane Doe.
Okay.
Again, a seven reference, by the way. But we'll call her Jane Doe.
It's so
And
meta.
Jane says, I'd love to hear the team's experiences related to termination of care and how to make these decisions alongside the patient. In a perfect world, everyone is adherent and motivated, but we all know that can be a challenge due to schedules, avoidance, etc. Many of us have to have regular turnover of patients due to filled patient schedules and clinic demands, so it's a very hard balance.
Yeah.
I'm also asking due to a recent personal experience where I had to terminate care for my personal safety, but
Ooh.
I'm also interested in the broader topic that I think could help a lot of listeners.
That's a
So,
great
I remember this
question.
one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it immediately got me thinking so much about terminations that did not go well. But I'm hoping that we could also talk about our ideal situations and times when it went well. So does that sound okay? Yeah.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot there. Like, there's a
Yeah.
lot of things we can cover for sure. And I'm remembering now, like when we talked about this in the past season, this is season 6, episode 12, that I think we gave like a quick answer, but then it was like, hey, we're going to return to this. We're going to talk about this again. And so I'm glad we're getting back to it. I mean, we're midway through this season already, and so I hope this listener has been waiting and anticipating. But this is definitely a beefier conversation than just a quick 2 minute response at the beginning of another episode. So,
Right. Also, side note, I'm glad that you remember so keenly when we talked about this and that we're going to come
well,
back to it. Well
the reason I
done.
remember is because it was the very last episode of that season, and I think I made a joke about maybe we'd get terminated before the season seven,
Oh,
and here we are. We're
here we are.
here. Yeah,
Oh,
it's all good.
we didn't
Bite
get
your tongue.
terminated.
Not yet.
Before we launch on that, because we've now used the word terminated multiple times, and I know we're going to talk about ideal termination process. I wish our field would come up with a better word than terminated,
You've been
because there's
terminated.
no good way to slice that. Like, there's no, because I feel like oftentimes what we're talking about is like moving on, graduating,
Right.
like stepping forward, something. And terminated just never has any positive connotation.
Well, I think
Right.
the Arnold Schwarzenegger franchise kind of gave it some of that negative connotation too.
Yeah, but I mean, like a termination of a job, a termination of a, like, it just,
It's
I don't know.
so
It just,
true. It's so true. Like it oftentimes, hopefully, termination, I'm saying that in quotes, from therapy is actually a really good thing. It's what we're hoping for. We
We're
want people
celebrating the
to be done
termination.
in therapy, in treatment. So, yeah, it's a good point that it's not a great word
No. Okay,
for it.
now we can keep going. Sorry.
Now we can move on. Okay, so maybe let's start with the positive approaches to termination and kind of what that means, and maybe starting there, what does an ideal termination process look like to each of you?
I had a supervisor or mentor, I guess both, when I was doing my graduate training, who kind of pointed out something interesting. He would say, and I may have even said this when we talked about this previously, but he would say that, sometimes he would tell clients at their, last session, like, good luck, and I hope I never see you again. And I remember I had like this look on my face, like, what are you doing? What are you talking about? He said, look, the point is that in a lot of our therapy, work with folks, we're developing a very unique relationship. They're sharing some really, really personal things. We've created hopefully a safe space for them to share some really important things. We've been working on stuff and doing things differently. And there is like, we rely on that relationship as part of the mechanism of change. Like, in fact, depending on where you're looking at, that is the mechanism of change, right? I think a previous guest this season even said, like, you are the aspirin, right? It's not, It's not you dispensing health. Like, this relationship is the cure, right? And he said, so, and unlike many other relationships, when other relationships come to an end, it's sometimes a really negative thing, right? Like, you're ending a romantic relationship. That's typically a pretty negative thing, or a long-term friendship, or a family relationship ends sometimes with, whether it's divorce or somebody's death, like, it can be pretty negative. And he said, and hopefully a therapy relationship, when it ends, can be a very positive thing. And therefore, it's going to be very different, very atypical from their other relationships ending. And he goes, so we can spend a lot of time talking about that. And he says, and with certain clients, not all of them, saying that, "I hope I never see you again," is kind of tongue in cheek for, "I think you're ready." Like, I think you're in a place where you can go on and have this life, and we can honor the importance of this relationship. And it's not like it's one of those, "We'll see you later," or, "until next time." I know we always say that at the end of these episodes too, but there's always this kind of sense that this relationship will continue, maybe in the future sometime, but this one is going to end. And you can highlight the importance of it, and how good that was, and that they are in a good place, Of course, and he would always do the typical things too, of like, "Hey, this doesn't mean that you can never seek care again if you have, other issues. Of course, I'm always here. That's, you're welcome to come back. And I think you're in a good place,
That was the thing that stood out to me as you were talking, that the other problem with calling it termination is that it doesn't have to be permanent. Like
Absolutely.
you kind of hope it is, and that the client goes on and doesn't need to talk to you again, whatever. And you also kind of hope, at least if you like the client, you hope that it's not permanent, that they might let you know, hey, I'm doing great 6 months later, and also the door's open to come back if they need to, if they want to, for any reason.
I think the other piece that really sets up this termination process for success is planning, right? I think when we can plan for it and we can have a conversation about, are we done? Are there any other, wrinkles you need to iron out? What, are we, are and then we can plan for that last session to really do all the things that we want to do in a final session. And obviously, I'm a, we've talked about this before. Kevin and I are PE therapists, Corinne, you're CPT, and obviously other things, but we have an agenda in that final session. There are things we need to accomplish or want to accomplish that are therapeutically very important in that final session. And when we're able to plan and say, okay, great, next session, here's what we're going to have our final session, and we have an agenda for that versus something just kind of dropping off or not being able to have the opportunity to do that. Because I think for many of the EBPs that we do, that termination session is when we're really taking stock of, I'm going to show you in different ways all the amazing work you did, and you did the work. I mean, I agree the relationship is important, but a lot of time, like, clients are really doing the work of taking back the territories that they've lost to whatever. And it's easy to dismiss, or, even at the end of therapy, not to really pay attention to all of the gains that they've made, all of the work that they've done, and planning to be able to give that the amount of time it deserves, I think is really important and truly helps with that, sort of more positive termination.
The other thought I had while you were talking about that too is that we sometimes think of termination as, now we're done, and they're done with therapy, they're done with care, they're separating from this whole system. And that's not even necessarily true either. Like, I think, Jenna, I absolutely agree with all that importance of highlighting the work they've done, the changes they've made, kind of pulling together, wrapping it all up, and put a bow on top of the work they've done. And there really is, a continuity of care thing we want to be keeping in mind as well. Like, their work with us is done. Okay, that's important. We can identify the end of our work together and what's next. And sometimes that is, they're done with therapy, they separate from the system, they live a good life. And sometimes it's, and there's other things to address, and that's okay too. And they can live a good life while they're addressing those other things, not with us. But it's not just a bye-bye, good luck, kick you to the curb. Like, let's talk together about what is next beyond
All
this.
right, so it sounds like a lot of the ideal we all agree on, which is having a conversation, right? It's a conversation that happens. It's a process that happens. In a really ideal world, it's kind of plotted out to some extent. It's expected and anticipated. And it may be a total ending of treatment, or it might be transitioned to different treatment, but it is that process that you're collaboratively working on with the client. So that sounds great. What causes that to go wrong? What kind of complications have you
Why?
experienced in the termination process?
Much time do we have?
I mean, I can speak to the flip side of mine, which is, especially working with military connected clients and those on active duty, although I would argue this happens, across the board with folks in life and is unexpected or, we wound up not really totally knowing when somebody was going to PCS or a like lengthy TDY, a temporary duty assignment comes in that we weren't anticipating and it drops in at session six. Well, what do we do? And so I think sometimes there are the realities are sometimes people have to pivot very quickly in the military and in other settings, and we don't have that opportunity to plan, and we don't have that opportunity to necessarily do a warm handoff if they need continued care, and that can feel really bad in many ways.
I appreciate you bringing it up from the perspective of being a military provider or working in an active duty setting. And I'm also thinking about how that relates very much to other scenarios as well. Like right now, I'm thinking about people who maybe their health insurance has changed or cut during a transition to a new year, an annual enrollment, and that could be a very quick, unexpected pivot as well.
For sure. The kind of the ways to me that I think about when we think about terminations not going well is just kind of that client that or clients, because it's usually more than one, who, like they miss an appointment and then they don't really reschedule, or maybe they reschedule and they miss that one too. And for me, it's always like, well, I'm hoping they're going to come back. Maybe I'll leave a voicemail or something, and I'm expecting they'll eventually show up again. But then, like my caseload's also filling up. I'm thinking about other clients, and it's easy to lose track of them, right? Like you've got this person you've been working for a while. Something came up. You're not even really sure what, and it's almost like they kind of fade into obscurity while you're focused on so many other things too. And I think that one's one that's tough for me when I've worked specifically full time doing clinical work. That one was tough for me because I had to remind myself, almost put times on my calendar to go back and just look through the caseload, see who will be missing, like who hasn't shown up again, and reach out to them. And of course, not all of them are going to respond to that. Sometimes that's for very good reasons. They got what they needed. They're done, but there could be other things that came up as well. But to me, one of the bad terminations is that they've kind of fell off the radar and we didn't follow up enough.
And you may never find out why, right? You don't find out if it's because they got better and they're happy and like it's just not a priority anymore. You don't know if it's because they hated you or they hated therapy and they're like, I'm done, or they got distracted by life. You have. That to me, as an aside, is one of the hardest parts about being a clinician. Sometimes you just don't know what happened and you don't
Don't get
get a
the feedback.
satisfying answer.
I mean, if it's happening regularly, you might
Sure.
want to. I
What are
mean,
you saying?
there's some tells, Corinne. We can talk about those offline.
That's another episode. We'll circle back to that.
But like fading out versus intentional termination,
Yeah,
like that
exactly.
distinction.
And I know the listener who wrote in talked about safety issues and it. I did have one, I have no idea what the circumstances were of Jane Doe's issue, but I remember early on in my training having a patient who I had to terminate with because, me as a like very young, inexperienced female therapist, a little bit out of my element, just felt legitimately in danger with a patient whom I was working with, and that was, I still, however many decades later, feel really gross about how that happened, that there was no good way to handle that.
And there's going to be those circumstances, right, where there's not a good or an ideal way to end things with a client, where there are, especially where there are safety concerns there. Because I mean, I like everybody to like me, and I like everything to happen the nice way. And I would love for, if we could all agree, and let's say the client who's presenting that safety concern, If we could be like, look, see, hey, there, because of these issues, because of safety issues, I think we need to not work together anymore. And if they go, oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah,
It's probably best for all of us if we move on. Like, that's probably not happening in a case where the therapist feels like their safety is in danger.
And even imagine if it's the patient who's in danger that you have to refer them out because they need a higher level of care, or you're not competent or qualified to deal with whatever they're facing, and you need to refer them out. That also feels awful.
It does.
To say you are such a danger, such a concern that I can't work with you anymore and I have to kick you out my door. I mean, I imagine no matter how well Kevin, no matter how well like we say it, articulate it, explain it, talk about the process, it can come across differently.
I do think there's better ways to say it, but you're absolutely right. Like we could say it the bestest way, and it can still feel icky, and they can still feel like they're getting rejected, and that's unfortunate.
And I think for any of those scenarios, one thing we want to reinforce as you're doing EBP work, and if you're, kind of having these experiences and you're having to deal with termination that is less than desirable, just make sure you have somebody to talk to about it. Get, consult, try and seek out supervision or somebody that you can, again, like talk through the scenario with. And I remember an example in the military that was more kind of what you were talking about, Corinne, where I wound up having to a client that I was seeing who had actually gone TDY to see me because where they were stationed, there was not a good level of care for them, or there was not the level of care they needed, but then they needed an even higher level of care. So when they thought they were going to go back home, the decision was made that actually what they really needed was this next level of care and substance use, actually. So, that was like not only were they not happy, because they weren't going home, but they really didn't want to, kind of do what they needed to do next. And that was not a pleasant situation.
Yeah, I imagine not.
One other thing that occurs to me too, and I think the listener wrote this in their message, that many of us have to have regular turnover of patients due to filled patient schedules and clinic demands, right? There's this expectation that we will be terminating with clients because we need to be starting to see new clients, right? Like there's almost like this intentional revolving door. And that's, intended, that's on purpose because we expect that people will get better. And they'll move on and live their lives, and then we'll have room to see new people. In fact, one of the worst things it seems to me is, I've talked to some therapists before, like I must be doing a great job because they keep coming back and they've been coming back for years. It's like maybe that's not an indication that you're doing a good job, but I think we've all been in those situations too where we got to keep taking intakes. And there's a finite amount of time to see some folks. I think the worst example of that was I was actually getting ready to do, it was kind of a TDY, even as a civilian. And so I actually had to terminate literally my whole caseload all at once. And I
Oh.
had enough heads up that I had time to do this. We can talk about in a moment, what are best ways to do this? But I mean, literally had to go through this whole caseload, all the people I hadn't seen in, months, people I was seeing regularly right now, and just one by one had to figure out, what are we going to do? Because I'm not going to be here at this clinic anymore. And this could happen, if you're moving to a new place or, you're not working at a practice or a particular clinic anymore.
You
Or
stop taking a certain insurance.
absolutely, absolutely. And so that was challenging, and it was different for each client that was on that list. But I think that's one of those places where, certainly therapists could encounter this need to terminate clients, even when they're not like the most ideal situations.
Well, I think that's a good transition. Both what you and Jenna were talking about good strategies for termination. And I think we started to talk about them already. I have a couple ideas, but what maybe we just keep on the topic that you brought up, Kevin. What was the
What
best
did I do?
way? Yeah. And I'm thinking about my own experiences, leaving a clinical job and same thing. Like, all right, well, now I have 4 weeks to terminate with my entire caseload. This will be a fun month. So what should I have done, Kevin?
Well, I mean, the fact that you had 4 weeks is already a good thing, right? Like, if it's sudden, gosh, that's really hard,
Yeah, it's
and
true.
that's more difficult. And like Jenna said earlier, right? It's nice to be able to plan those terminations, even if you didn't get to the end of your treatment protocol. And so for many of those folks that I was seeing regularly at that point, it was like, well, let's talk about this. Hey, this is coming up. Let's be explicit about it. I'm going to be leaving this clinic. I wanted to let you know that before it happens. We're going to have time to see each other again a few more times before that happens. But I do think we need to start including in our sessions, what's the plan? You know, does that mean identifying another therapist here at this clinic that we can transition you to? And let's, you know, do a warm handoff, or ideally, how do we bring them into this process as well, so you get to know them just before before I'm gone and suddenly not there anymore. You know, sometimes that's the impetus to have a conversation together about, like, have we reached our therapeutic goals? You know, like, maybe this is a nice stopping point when we get there. You know, sometimes that can really focus on what do we want to accomplish in those next 3 or 4 weeks. So, you know, having a heads up and communicating that very clearly to the client so you can work together on what that ending looks like, I think is really important. And that's not always available, but you know, where it is available, I think that's one of the best things to start with, is know what's coming, plan together, communicate it clearly as early as you can so that there aren't surprises.
Kevin just took all mine.
Oh, all right, Jenna, you've got no
Got
additional
nothing.
role credits.
suggestions. Well, you said a lot in it. I mean, the talking about it over an extended amount of time, if you're able, the being really upfront about it, talking about the fact that it might not, even though it might be a forced termination, that doesn't mean that necessarily the patient hasn't achieved their goals. So it might end up just coming at the right time anyway, that maybe you'd never planned for, but and if not, then working with them to talk about next steps. Yeah. I was also thinking about good strategies for those scenarios where the system or where the clinic dictates your turnover and how quickly you have to fill spots and how quickly you have to terminate clients. And that also reminded me of my work, particularly in the VA, and that was very much an issue. You know, there just was not enough access for the number of patients who we needed to see and who needed to be seen and frankly deserved care. So I remember that we worked pretty hard to figure out how do we set up treatment episodes in a way that makes sense and that's clinically useful and that helps to get patients what they need, but without making the promise or setting the expectation that you're going to be in treatment forever, because we often don't want that as well. So I don't know, have any of you, either of you, ever used like a psychotherapy contract or a psychotherapy plan to set that up?
Maybe a form of that, but say more.
So I actually found this process to be really helpful. What we ended up doing, or at least what I ended up doing, is with each patient, I would spend a session going over what are their goals, what specifically are their goals, are there assessment measures that we can use to track that? You know, the obvious ones are, if it's PTSD symptoms, we'd use a PCL, but other things, you know, well, if it's anger management, what are we going to use for that, for example, to track that? It might be self-report, it might be asking your spouse if you're less angry, you know, how are we going to track that? And how many sessions are we going to estimate for? So let's take our best guess. What if we give this a try for 12 weeks? We try these strategies and then we're going to check back in and see if your goals are met. Great, you move on. If there are additional goals that we haven't met, do we kind of restart? Do we, you know, where do we go? And what was good about that also was that it also had in there, what if you stop showing up? Or what if you miss more than two sessions in a row, how are we going to handle that? And so, in a lot of ways, in an open dialogue, it really kind of set the stage for how can we make you successful in here? What do you want to accomplish? And if you can't make use of the treatment right now, how are we going to make this space available for somebody else?
I love
I
that.
love
And
that transparency.
yeah, instead of just that 4 weeks time, like, you've set it up from the very beginning. I mean, I do something similar where, you know, as we're identifying treatment goals, a treatment goal of I want to feel better isn't terribly useful, right? Like, what does that look like? I've even, you know, I've used the question of, like, hey, if you imagine yourself a year from now, 2 years from now, and you're living your life the way that you'd like to, describe that for me. What does that look like? So, you know, it gets kind of that image into their head, but also having a discussion about what are realistic expectations, right? Like, what can you realistically expect when therapy is done? And I've even, again, another mentor, supervisor, at some point in my career, shared that they like to ask the question, how will we know when we're done? Just laying it out there really explicitly. How will we know when we're done? Because it plants that idea of this isn't forever. There is a point we're trying to get to, and it's not this nebulous, I feel like I'm perfect, because nobody is perfect. You know, how will we know when we're done? And then we can set that as like, these are the metrics. And, you know, we can describe these are the metrics so that we know that we've reached those goals and you've gotten what you wanted to get from this.
I was thinking that we often talk about how informed consent is a process, right? It's not a one and done. And maybe termination is a process. Maybe if we approached it as something that we visit at the beginning, we visit and, as we kind of go on, so that there aren't surprises and it allows for better planning and we're all on the same page, is really stop thinking of it as like this thing, but actually that it's a process that.
Because every therapeutic relationship will end, right? Eventually.
One way or another.
So we can
One would
talk about
hope.
it from the very beginning. Like that's, we're gonna get there.
All right, so these are good strategies. Any bad strategies that people want to throw out that they've seen happen, that we would encourage our listeners not to repeat? I've got one.
I'm going to tell my sin because this is one that's really on the flip side, and it is one I've actually observed a lot in when I was, when I was supervising interns. And we talk all the time about, these forced terminations, and we've got to manage our caseloads and things like that. I have seen so many, especially newer to the field providers, hang on to their clients. Like their client is ready to terminate, right? They have actually achieved a lot of the goals or enough. Like they're well enough, on the way enough. But there's this, and I think this is very similar to the fragility that providers impose upon clients who are not ready to start PE or they're not ready to start a certain trauma treatment because they're too fragile, when in reality they're like the most, strongest. They've been through the worst, and now we're going to help. Like we don't want to delay them getting better, right? And I think that is something that I've seen be a sin with termination, is not giving enough thought around, like, does this feel done to the client? And I can think of a very specific individual I worked with again when I was on active duty, and he, like, I was younger in my career, and he was like, "Doc, I'm done." And he's like, "I get it. Like, I know what I'm doing." And it was session six, but PE was 10 sessions, and this was session six. And
You're not done. I'll tell you when you're
right, I'll
done.
tell you when you're done. I have this whole thing I need to still do. I haven't even done hotspots, but he was doing better, right? Like he got it. He didn't need, like, the whole point was for him to take it forward into his life. And here I am, like, holding him back. And so I think we really need to be careful when we're looking at that. Are we imposing some fragility or some ineptness onto our clients when, in truth, they really, so much more benefit would come from letting them spread their wings on their own and taking this into their life independently. That's my sin.
Very
And
true.
yeah, and knowing that they can come back, it's, as we talked
No, that
about,
was
it's not
it. You're
like
out. You're done. No.
you're done.
Yes.
Spread your wings, and if you fall, too bad.
But I, Corinne, what I will say is how you give that message is so important. Like, I'm
Yes.
not expecting this, like, because I think a lot of providers can also be
Yeah.
like, but if you need me, if you have to come
Right.
back, I'm here. It's really very important to do it in the right tone and in the right way.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty good sin. I've got
Thanks.
one too.
Okay.
Go for
I'm pretty sure you're gonna win if we're picking like the
Yes.
best or the worst sin. I don't even know how to phrase it, but I've got one for as a contender anyway. I remember early on when I was still in grad school, a professor saying that the therapist should never be the one to bring up termination. Like, never ever bring up termination. It's a process that the patient has to come to. Otherwise, they're going to feel like, you're kicking
Abandoned.
them out or you don't want to see them or whatever. But you should never be the one to bring up termination. And that sounds bad to me. That sounds wrong. Right? Like,
Yes.
if, like, don't I have an ethical obligation to say to somebody,
Right.
you know, it seems like you're doing well. It seems like you've reached your goals. I'm going to stop taking your money now, or I'd like to stop taking your money, or, I'd like to give you an hour of your life back. It seems so There seems like a lot of things potentially wrong with that approach.
Like fostering dependence in a way. I mean, it's
Yeah.
similar to what Jenna was talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like we get so connected with this relationship that we don't want it to end.
Yeah. Or even if it's just like setting curiosity out there, like, hey, I'm curious how you're feeling about, an end point.
Right.
That's bringing it up, but giving them the autonomy to give their views about it before you impose yours.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it
That's
doesn't have to be
interesting.
all or nothing, right? It doesn't have
No.
to be that you have to wait for years for the patient to bring it up or you have to kick them out. There should be something in the middle somewhere.
I
Yeah.
agree.
Well, and it occurs to me as if you're doing ongoing assessment throughout your work together
Right.
anyway, there's data coming up
Yeah.
that's worth talking about. And, you know, what does this mean for us in our work and you reaching your goals? So it isn't like a, well, we'll just talk until we're done talking. There's specific things you're tracking.
All right, so what's the sin here?
Well,
What's
what's the sin here? I mean,
Well, okay, so for any listener who's listening to this episode for the first time and hasn't listened to the rest of season seven, I should give a little background. In this season, we are identifying the so-called sin of clinical practice that we've talked about. And in this case, we're talking about termination do's and don'ts, essentially. Is there anything that stands out to either of you as being a potential sin of termination?
well, from what you just said, I guess my head, I would phrase, you know, like the sin might be forcing the client to be 100% responsible for termination. Right.
And my sin is ignoring when the client has given you good data that it's
Yeah.
time to terminate.
So can we have two sins for this episode? Is that allowed? I know we make the rules, so we can decide that.
Well, it's interesting because that sin I was thinking of almost incorporates both of those. And so I don't know if
Oh.
that's. But it's kind of like, you know, the sin of not communicating explicitly about termination, right?
Yeah.
Like the idea that, and I'm thinking of folks that I've supervised before or consulted with before, where it's like I don't know if I don't want to say attitude, that sounds really negative, but you know, the attitude seems to be like, well, if they want more help, they'll show up, you know, or, you know, hey, when it's similar to what Corinne, you're saying, like, you know, if they want to terminate, they'll talk about termination. They'll bring it up. Or, you know, hey, I haven't heard from them in 3 months. If they, you know, they'll show up if they need it. If they don't, they're fine. Like, it's almost like this passivity or laissez-faire of like, you know, discussions around termination is just so weird and unpleasant, or it causes me extra work or whatever. And so we're just not going to go there. And it seems like, you know, in both cases, like Jenna's talking about, like we want to hold on to them forever. We don't want to let go. We just think they need to be in therapy forever. But also, Corinne, for yours, like, you know, waiting for them to bring it up, and it's only their responsibility. Having that communication from the beginning, not waiting until you're going, I really think this person's ready for termination. How am I going to bring it up? Like, you've been talking about this the whole
Right.
time,
The
hopefully.
process. Yeah.
You know,
Right.
it's from the very first session, maybe even. So to me, I mean, one way to maybe to phrase that as a sin is like the sin would be not talking about it, right? Not having explicit conversations about termination throughout.
And I think that comes back to something that, maybe the sin is there are multiple data points that would drive this discussion that you have with your client. And I was thinking about when I was in physical therapy, there was a conversation at the beginning. We'll probably see each other for, about 3 months, once a week, ideally. How much practice, you do these exercises outside of our time together is going to impact how fast or slow things go, potentially. And I'm also, they were measuring things. They were measuring how far back I could put my arm. And then the next appointment, they'd measure again, and I had gotten a few more degrees. And that is what we're doing with a PCL. That is what we're doing with a BDI. That is what we're doing with functional gains. That is what we're doing with, SUDS levels. And we have, any kind of modality that we're doing, that is the ethical part where we need to be collecting, data through self-report data. We need to be doing observational data. And that, if we don't bring that in, that's the sin, I think, because that's really where we can have that robust and like good conversation with our client about, here's what we know. What do you think?
It occurs to me like all this talk about what are the right things to do, how, you know, How do we manage those situations that are unexpected? And, how do we avoid some of these sins? Sounds like we're getting towards actionable intel, right? Like
Oh,
we end
yeah.
every episode with what can we do now? What can we, take from this discussion and apply to our clinical work that'll improve our work now? What are some of the actionable intel that you would say? What are those tips that folks that are listening can take away with them after this episode and apply it right now?
Well, I'll go with what I was reminded of that worked well in my practice, which was having some form of psychotherapy plan. So if you don't already have access to one, kind of creating one yourself. And I think what should go in there is, what are the patient's goals? How are you going to track their progress? How many sessions are you going to, aim for? And how are you going to reevaluate whether the treatment's working and or whether it's time to wrap up?
Love that.
So I don't think it has to be anything fancy, but I think that could be a really helpful tool.
The one I throw out there is very similar, and that is like make this part of your conversation from the beginning. It's an ongoing process. It should be part of, your work together, not just now that we're all done, now we have to talk about terminating, but make it part of that whole process. If you haven't done it, like if you have clients that you didn't have that conversation with at the very beginning, there's no better time. Like you don't have to wait until you're feeling like this person needs to go or they've accomplished their goals. Like you can have that conversation now.
Yeah, and what are you going to use for your measurement? Like what you might not, again, maybe you always are used to using the PHQ-9 or the PCL, but what for the person you're working with, do you have a good group of self-assessment tools that you can use to help drive that decision? And who can you talk to if you are unsure? So what's your, where's your A team to help you navigate this?
Are you suggesting consultation?
I mean, I didn't,
For the first time ever.
yeah, there's this thing called consultation.
I'm glad you said that, though. So, as I say, one thing that you mentioned early on, Jenna, is especially when termination seems like it's going to be a little bit sticky or a little bit weird, that consulting with somebody and documenting that actually is really important
Absolutely.
ethically.
Because I think, and the one quick thing I'll add to that with some of the measures, if we're not making progress, if we're not moving, if I'm not helping you to kind of change some of the things that you came to me for, like I've had to have that conversation. Like we need to try another modality. We need to shift gears and get you engaged with somebody else because it would make no sense to kind of continue to just do the same thing and see no progress. So let's get you hooked in with somebody else who can work at this differently.
I've loved this conversation a lot. I'm
Me
really
too.
glad Jane brought this question up. And I would just say,
Yeah.
like, hey, just from the way that she phrased her question, makes it sound like she's already doing some of the right things. Like she's already thinking about this. She's being
So thoughtful.
purposeful about it. It's not just we get to the end of the 10th session of PE and bye-bye. Like we ought to be thinking about this all along and recognizing that they don't go ideally all the time. And kind of having some thoughts about what to do about that. So thanks for the question, Jane. It was fantastic.
Sure.
Thank you,
You're
Jane.
just calling her Jane now.
I
Jane,
am.
that's her
Thanks,
name.
Jane. Thanks,
Thanks,
Jane.
Jane. There's the title for our episode. Thanks, Jane. Thank you, Jane. But a reminder that we want to hear from listeners, obviously, because we get good questions from them. It sparks discussion, and we also appreciate knowing that somebody's listening. So please, please, please get in touch. Get in touch with us on social media, leave a comment, reach out on SpeakPipe, ask us your questions, give us your comment, and we'll put all that information in the show notes about how to access SpeakPipe at least. And thank you both for a great discussion, for joining
Thank
me and
you.
talking about termination.
I'm glad you brought it back up. I was wondering when we'd get back to the question because we did promise it. So, Jane Doe, here it is.
We
So, thanks
delivered.
for bringing it up. Yes.
Delivered.
We delivered. And until next time,
stay curious.
And mind your EVPs.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Remember, we love hearing from our listeners. So, leave us a message on SpeakPipe or send us an email. Both can be found in our show notes. Our theme music is Failed Attempts by Nitro, and our administrative assistant is Bree Mercer.
Thanks for listening to Practical for Your Practice.
If you like what you're hearing, please feel free to follow us, rate this episode, and share it with others.
Until next time.